From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Coast to Coast podcast. Become a Coast Insider to hear the rest of this fascinating conversation and check out recent shows where we learned about scientific efforts to revive the woolly mammoth, the latest in military drone technology, and the mysterious Shroud of Turin. And you can listen to those programs and many more amazing Coast shows by heading over to coasttocoastam.com and signing up for Coast Insider.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Well, as Lauren Weinstein, Coast to Coast AM security and internet advisor, said last half hour, there are no like uniform rules when it comes to privacy, especially state to state, city to city, certainly not country to country. But I think it was. I think people are always surprised when somebody like an attorney would record a client. And yet that seemed to be what some of the conversation evolved around today with the release of that particular aspect of this story about President Trump. What are the rules about attorneys recording clients? Do you know?
As far as I know, one of the things here is you're not just talking about laws, you're talking about like canons of professional ethics,
sure, and
things like that, that may not have the force of law, but can involve whether or not you keep your law license and such. In general, and I was following the story like most people today about Michael Cohen and the tapes, and of course all we heard about today was one tape, and
right,
we can assume there are lots more tapes, because if you have a habit of right, recording your clients, you probably are doing it on a fairly routine basis. It certainly is an unethical kind of shading to it. It's one thing to inform a client that yeah, and I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not.
No. This is key though. Yeah.
But it's one thing to inform your client, look, I'm going to record this so that we have a record of this discussion, and the client says fine. And it's another thing to just do it. And the stories going around are saying that Cohen would sometimes just kind of play these tapes of Trump for other people and things like that, which also seems unethical.
Right.
Now the ethics of the recordings are different from the legality of the recordings. And as you suggested, there are no standard laws on this, and they vary widely here in the U.S. on a state-to-state basis. So,
That will often come down to it's a one-party or a two-party state for recording, or you have to have the other person's permission. But there are some states, and I'm assuming New Jersey is one of them. I didn't check, but most of them are, where it's a one-party permission state. And only one of the two people has to know that there's a recording going on. That's to prevent somebody else from eavesdropping and recording a conversation in which they are not a participant.
Right. The it's a different model when you have, say, somebody sitting who is not a party to the conversation. And, of course, you could have more than two parties in a conversation. And so when we say
right.
two-party, that's sort of shorthand for all party.
That's
all,
perfect.
All,
exactly.
All parties
right.
that are participating in the conversation. That's different from somebody, whether it's law enforcement or somebody else, who is an external party, a third party, who is recording the conversation. That kind of thing will normally always require, excuse me, a warrant of some sort or other legal, a special legal justification. Now, when it comes to the individuals who are participating in the conversation, you're absolutely right. Most states are one-party states, and all that means is that if only one party to the conversation wants to record it, they just record it. They don't have to tell the other people they're doing it. From an ethical standpoint, they should.
But maybe they don't. And in one sense, I mean, here, let me make an argument for something on this. So in a one-party state, you know, I think it's incumbent on us to find out, like, where we live and what the rules are. And is it, aren't we at, maybe we are at a place in our culture, in the story arc of litigation in the United States, where one is wise to just assume, with all of the cell phone cameras and all of the, you know, security cameras and microphones that exist everywhere, that nobody's seeking your permission, but you should just assume at every moment of every day you're being recorded and conduct yourself accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're probably pretty safe in your bathroom at home. You know, we hope.
Yep.
But
yep.
once you go out the front door, there are cameras everywhere. There are security. You know, people have security cameras pointed in all directions and everything else. The rules actually are you know, somewhat different for video and audio. So that's one thing. You know, we're talking about recording conversations. There can be differences when it comes to like video cameras, where there's no audio being recorded. You brought up the situation of could you put on a shirt, right, that said, "Don't record me." Would
that help?
Only in a multiple party state, in a two party state, because that might be reasonably construed as saying, you know, no, I'm not giving permission. But if you're in a one party state, you don't have to give permission.
Right.
So the shirt would be meaningless, except as a fashion statement, perhaps.
All right. So let me extrapolate that a little bit more. Okay. Let me just pull on that a little bit. So if part of what I'm wondering about in this way in which we're starting to think about recording and being whether we're being recorded is whether or not we should also be more proactive about recording ourselves. And I give you as an example of that, both something that happened to me, which I'll get back to, but also when I was online today and I was going around, I was reading some of the comments on about this story about Cohen recording his clients, is I read somebody posting on a site said, I never go to my lawyer's office without recording him. And that I record every transaction that happens, especially when it comes to, and then I was like, dang, duh, when it comes to wills, when it comes to financial issues, is that, you know, they're recording you when you call up to, you know, the only one I know is Charles Schwab. They're recording you, but why not record them? Maybe that's our clue, is it's not a matter of there's too much recording. It's in order for us to really be protected, we're not doing enough recording. We got to protect ourselves.
I have actually done that myself here. Now, we're here in California. It's a two-party state. Whenever I've done that, I have informed the other party that I'm going to be making the recording and saying, you know, if you continue this recording with me, I'm treating that as permission to go ahead. And they say, okay, you'll go ahead. I give you permission. And I've done that with call centers, you know, where you get the recording that says, you know, for training purposes, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
For training purposes, this call may be recorded or monitored, you know, to make our lawyers happy.
That's right.
And if there's a conversation that I feel I need a record of, I'll say, by the way, I'm informing you here that this conversation is being recorded. And if we continue it, this is considered to be a sent, just like your recording was to me. Exactly
right.
The same word. I try to use the same words that their recording used. And I mean, I've never had a problem with that. They've always said, "Fine, go ahead and record it." But in the context where you're making recordings without informing the other party and giving them a chance to say no or to leave the call at that point, then you're making a decision. And this is something I would recommend against, to make illegal recordings.
Right, because you may not be able to use them anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they may make you feel better, and they may be useful to you in terms of personal recollections. But if you have some intention of using them in some legal context, and they're illicit recordings, they're not going to do you any good. These laws have been pretty well hashed out. I mean, there's a lot of confusion from state to state. But you will note the just ubiquitous nature of these preamble barkers that you hear on call centers that have all basically the same wording, you know, and
right.
They say this call may be recorded or monitored for this purpose or that purpose, because it has been determined that if you continue the call at that point, that's considered to be providing your
right.
consent. It's the same
passive
way
permission.
If you call someone and leave a message on their voicemail, that, you know, if you talk after the beep, you have given your consent. So consent doesn't necessarily mean that you absolutely come out and literally say, yes, I consent. Continuing the conversation when you have a reasonable knowledge that you're going to be recorded from that point is considered to be consent.
And yet, with California even being a two-party state, I'm willing to present to you a wrinkle. Across universities, colleges, high school campuses, it never used to be a thing to record a lecture. In fact, it used to be that professors would encourage the recording of a lecture, especially they would say, okay, record this. And I knew people that brought little cassette decks, right?
Yeah.
Set them up there, or they were in law school and whatever, and then transcribe this later on. And, you know, this was a big thing.
I remember when I was at UCLA, which is now a considerable number of years ago,
right.
There would be students who would have little portable cassette recorders. And they would put them on the table near the podium where the professor was and record them. And I don't remember many professors saying, don't do that.
Not then.
Yeah.
But now you have a case where some of these recordings have been, for lack of a better term, weaponized. And something that a professor would say in a class to a student who didn't like that particular opinion then takes that recording and has been making, you know, trying to turn some professor into a national disgrace. And so they take a recording, maybe out of context, maybe not. So what this created was places where students were being told, no, you may not record my class, which becomes a whole nother thing. It's like, well, then I only get one shot to write it down. Yep. And so, I mean, I for one, when I teach, I just say, I have nothing to hide, so record away. I don't care. But I've known other professors who said, I'm sick of it. And no, they're not allowed to record it because some students who are troublesome may go back and, you know, sort of cherry pick out some quotes and start making a big deal out of it. And that's just not worth it to them.
From a legal standpoint, I don't see an easy way out from under that, unless you're in a situation where the college or the university, whatever the educational institution is, has an overriding policy. I mean, it seems, this would be something I'd have to research, because now you're talking about layers of regulations and laws.
Sure.
And things. But if, for example, a university had a policy that said one of the conditions for teaching here, being a professor here, is that you allow your lectures to be recorded, and then the professor said, I don't want you to record, that would, from the legal standpoint of the state laws on recordings, the professor would be within his rights, but he would also be violating, in this case, the university rules, which would allow the university, presumably, to take punitive action against that professor. So it can get kind of complicated.
I know of at least one school where the rule is you may not record a class without the professor's permission, explicit permission.
Yeah, and the way the laws are usually written, that would typically be an enforceable kind of rule.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.